D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 384, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Matthew Rodella from JiffyPC.com, your friendly neighborhood computer guy, and the Computer Business Podcast. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I'm real excited to be on today.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and I'm excited to learn all the different things that you're doing in your business and things that you can teach us, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to learn from and all the wonderful things you're doing over on your friendly neighborhood computer guy and in your own personal business. First of all, let's why don't you tell us a little bit about basically how you got started in computer repair?
Probably like most folks, you know, as a kid, I liked to play around with computers. I was always interested in technology. My dad brought over our first IBM clone. I believe it was a 286. Back when I don't even remember what model it was. It was very generic. It had the big floppy drives in it. It didn't have a modem or anything like that yet. I would get on there and figure out how to, it just took a while to figure out how to launch a program, right. Because, you know, it was all, DOS based. And, so I remember like playing Oregon Trail and some of those early games on there. And it was just so fascinating to me. So it grew from there. I remember the first time, we got a modem. And I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world to be able to, you know, connect to other computers across the country and across the world. And it was just such a novel idea. We had CompuServe or one of those early. Early internet portals. And just getting in there and being able to play games with other people from across the world. It just blew my mind. And so I was definitely hooked. And so, being someone who was using a computer back then, as a computer user, you kind of had to know how to fix computers also, because they broke down a lot more back then. Just to install a video card, you had to, the IRQ numbers and all the crazy tweaks that you had to do to get it to work. So you definitely had to know how to dig in there and figure that stuff out. So that's where I got started. I loved if I had a CD with a game on it that I would play, I loved digging into the files on the CD I would look for where all the cutscenes were stored, so I can see I couldn't beat the game, but I could view the cutscene of the ending of the game. So I can see, what the ending was going to be like. So just that kind of stuff, just digging around to find out, how to get around certain things and all of that was a lot of fun. And that's what computers allowed you to do, was to figure things out, deconstruct things, find out how they worked, put them back together, all without, having any physical parts strewn across. Like if you took apart a radio or something, you'd have all these radio parts everywhere. Where the computers, if you dig into a program, you don't really, have a mess other than the computers, And I would break the computer and have to reimage it. So I'd get, experience with that and all of that stuff. So that's how I got started with computers. And then I joined the Army right after high school. So in the Army, I was actually a musician in the Army. Part of my side duties for the unit I was in was to help them with their computers. So I was kind of an apprentice to the computer guy in our unit. And he would show me how to do basic administrative stuff. We had a small work group, Windows work group in our unit. So I would learn how to troubleshoot like Outlook issues and user account issues and stuff like that. So I got, you know, experience with administrating computers and networks and stuff. And then after I got out of the Army, I got an internship for the help desk at a pharmaceutical company. And I kind of rose through the ranks of the help desk there. I started as an intern, then help desk level one, then help desk level two, then started doing, went over to the server side of things. So I started doing server administration. The technical term for my position was infrastructure analyst. So yeah, exactly. Got the crazy corporate terms there. Which basically meant I patched servers and I monitored servers and made sure all the servers in the company were running and swapped out parts and stuff whenever I needed to. So once I got into that position, I started not liking IT so much. I really enjoyed what I was doing on the help desk, where I was interfacing with people, solving problems face to face, you know, really kind of troubleshooting and different things every day. Whereas on the server side, it was very regulated because it's a pharmaceutical company. So you have all the processes you need to go to, all the change control and change management. And, you know, if I wanted to install a tool on a server, I'd have to go through like days of paperwork just to be able to install a program because, you know, it's just all the regulation and stuff.
Right.
And I hated that. And a lot of, you know, office politics and in order to, you know, you had to, you know, make friends with certain people if you wanted certain things done. And I just, that wasn't for me. And so I started moonlighting as repairing computers for friends and family on the side, and eventually grew that into a nice little side business. And I eventually, when I got the side business to where I was having to take sick days from work to service my computer business clients, that's when I knew that I was to the point where I couldn't sustain both. So I quit the job. I started the computer business full time, and I've been doing that full time for about 3.5 years now.
Nice.
And running the computer business as a whole for about 6 years. Yeah, that's where I am now. And then, so that's Jiffy PC. That's my computer business.
Right.
But then also I have your friendly neighborhood computer guy, which is yfncg.com. And that started off as a blog that I had that kind of talked about the experiences that I was going through when I first started my business part-time. I just, you know, kind of wanted a place where I could vent, talk about what I was doing, and maybe meet other people who are starting computer businesses and kind of bounce ideas off of them and stuff. And so that's what it started off as. And now it's kind of growing into more of a resource for other people who are looking to start or grow their computer business. I, you know, have some eBooks that are available on there. I have a bunch of blog posts and videos and resources. So that's been going real great. I've been having a lot of fun with that. And then also an offshoot of that is the computer business podcast that I started about a year ago. You know, I was a guest on a couple of podcasts, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I decided, you know, maybe I'd start my own podcast around, you know, more of the business side of computer business, talking about, you know, how to get more clients, how to market, all of that stuff. And So that's been going real well too. So just kind of, you know, having fun with all these different things and you know, experimenting, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, and just going with the flow.
Very cool. And I'll encourage people to go. And if you really want to hear an in-depth story of how Matthew went from, you know, quitting his corporate job into going into a full-time business, definitely go check out the Computer Business Podcast. And how many episodes do you have up so far?
I think we're at 15.
15? Okay.
Yeah.
Was I on 15?
No, we just recorded an episode with you. So you're probably going to be like 16 or 17, depending on how the order goes.
Gotcha. So anyways, you're doing a lot of, you went from doing it was probably a monthly podcast, and now you're doing a weekly podcast. You're getting a lot of neat guests on there and really talking about the computer business and how to grow it and do different things. But if you go back and listen all the way from episode one, Matthew has a great story of how he did different things coming up through the ranks and, you know, some of the struggles and different things that he had to go through. But very, very inspiring story to, you know, to inspire other computer repair technicians out there that want to take their business and move from that part-time, like I do, to a full-time computer business. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's a lot of folks who listen to these podcasts who are running a part-time business or who might not even be running a business at all. They're just, you know, they're working in IT or they might even be working in some unrelated field, but they have a passion for computers and they're, you know, maybe in the back of their mind, they're thinking, it might be cool to try out starting a business or whatever. And so that's kind of what the goal of your friendly neighborhood computer guy is to kind of help those guys along finding the right path on how to get their computer business started.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great resource and helpful to everyone, I think. So what types of, you will go back to your business right now, but, and what types of things have you been working on in your personal business?
Yeah, so that's interesting because it's been kind of an evolving thing. I started really focusing on residential customers, doing kind of the Geek Squad type of thing, break fix, virus removals, tune ups, that kind of thing, and then it's been evolving over time into I'm working with more small businesses or work from home folks. Who, you know, need to either running their own business out of their home or working for another corporation from home. And a lot of those people, you know, they have, you know, when they have a computer need, they need it fixed now because their livelihood depends on it.
Right.
And so those are good clients to have because you know that they're going to be appreciative of, you know, what you do to fix their systems. So now I'm moving more into supporting a cloud type of interfaces where they want, you know, their email and their backups and everything to happen no matter where they are. And they want to be able to, use different machines to access the same information. And also spending some time just working on how to interface different computers with different cloud services. I've also been getting into a lot of web design, and that's something that I never thought I was going to get into. It's something I've always kind of had as a hobby of mine. Ever since high school, I was building websites just as a hobby. I started getting requests from clients, you know, hey, I got this website also. Can you help me with that? And you know, I knew some stuff about websites, so I said, sure, I'll see what I can do. And that started to grow. I've started to get more confident with that, especially with the WordPress platform. So I've about 50% of my business now is WordPress consulting. And that just kind of grew organically out of my business. And I really don't even advertise that on my computer business website because it's something that grew organically that I don't really have to advertise. It's just from word of mouth, that's kind of grown. So I do, 50% of the, I still do a little bit of residential, you know, my existing clients that I got when I first started my business are still around and I still service them. And then I do, you know, some of the small business stuff, some remote work, that's 50%. And then the other half of my business now is WordPress consulting. And I'm seeing that side growing. I'm kind of throwing around ideas of maybe going that way completely. Right now I'm kind of still thinking about it and just kind of going with the flow, seeing where my clients lead me. And that's kind of the lesson I've learned is you can have, you know, the greatest plan for your computer business, but if you don't have the customers to back up that plan, your business isn't going to really go anywhere. So I kind of just let my clients tell me what they need and kind of guide me. And depending on if it's something that I can do or that I enjoy doing, I'll go in that direction.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's a lot more money to be made from business clients or even website design and stuff like that. I liken it to this, that I always say, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to, you know, you want to keep diversified. And I honestly believe for myself that I will always have break fix customers. I don't want them to be the majority of my business, because break fix is what I liken also to, you know, car sales. Mm-hmm. Basically, every, you know, if I want to make money as a car salesman, I've got to sell so many cars per month. Well, if I want to make, you know, X amount of dollars doing break fix, I've got to do so much break fix per month. And that's not the best way to go. But I think a lot of times you'll find it, or what I've seen is there will be certain customers who are willing to pay a premium because you're so good at what you do. And that's why I believe some of that stuff will never go away. But that's very interesting. You're seeing your business evolve and kind of, you know, just going with the flow, going where the wave takes you. And I think that's very important, because technology is always changing. It's always growing. It's always moving. And I think as computer technicians, you know, computer repair business owners, we need to figure out a way to make that money by moving our business in the direction or flow that everything else is going, you know, to a certain extent. You know, keep with what you're good at, but also continue to expand on that and, you know, be able to grow your business.
Right. And, you know, having started the Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy blog and website, I get contacted by folks who are running computer businesses who are struggling with certain things. And I find the majority of people who, especially who've been in the business for a while, who all of a sudden feel like they're hitting a wall, or they're struggling, they're not having as many clients. A lot of the common thread among those guys is that they're kind of stuck in their old ways, and they're running a computer business like it's the early 2000s, where they're, you know, doing nothing but hardware break fix, and they're finding that they're getting undercut a lot of the time by new up and coming folks in the neighborhood. And they're not expanding their services. They're not looking into managed services or other ways to increase their revenue and to look for other opportunities. And that's really important when you're running a computer business, because by nature, you know, computers change so rapidly that the landscape of running a computer repair business is going to change as well. And now, you know, hardware is getting better. It's not breaking down as much. So I find software is where it's at. Managed services is where it's at. And for me, I've had a lot of success with web development, which, you know, may not be, you know, for certain people, that's kind of more on the programming side. And so that might not be for everybody. But I definitely recommend looking for opportunities. And you're right. You said that you don't necessarily need to do something that you're not comfortable with. You can look at your core skills and attributes and what you're good at. You know, if you're good at working with hardware, you just might need to look into other opportunities like mobile device repair or, you know, server repair. You can still repair hardware. You just might have to branch out a little bit.
Right. No, that's a good point, you know, because I was just thinking I've had people that kind of, I was telling somebody else this on another show, but we had there's a picture on my website of different me taking apart a laptop. And I just started taking apart laptops when I first got into business, because there started to be a lot of them. I wasn't getting a whole lot of desktops. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn how to take them apart, and I had all these screws lined up in a row just for the photo op, you know. That's the only reason I did it. And I had a buddy question me. He said, "How did you get all the screws back in the right spot? You just have them lined up in a row." I said, "Oh, that's funny, dude." I said, "I don't even do that. I just throw them in a bowl." And he's like, "No, you don't." I'm like, "Yeah, I can have a laptop pulled apart in less than 10 minutes, you know, all the way down to the motherboard, no problem, and have it back, you know, just as quick." So it's something I became really good at. But when I tried to do an iPod Touch, I did one, broke two screens, and said never again.
So, it is very different, yeah.
Oh, I broke everything that you could possibly break on there. And all the parts were available except the one that I needed. I replaced the ribbon cable, resoldered it back on the board, and the one part, because they had smashed the case so badly, is that where the power switch would depress, there was a piece of cast aluminum on there that had broken in half. And I couldn't find them because I didn't have a basket full of parts, which I'm sure people that do this all the time do. And they can take those parts and put them into other people's iPod touches. So,
right. Yeah. It's just something that comes with time, you know, building up the box of, you know, old broken parts that you can use to swap out. Yeah.
So, you know, I will continue to take apart laptops because I'm good at it. But there's other things that, I'm not good at taking smaller things apart. So I probably won't do those things, but you can always look into, you know, especially when it comes to software. And I think managed services is one of the big ones nowadays, because I think with managed services, I think one of the things that, I'm starting to realize, even when I clean somebody's computer or, you know, and get it back to them, they're slowly starting to get pieces of malware and things over time just by being on the internet. And if you can provide a service where you can keep that stuff clean all the time and your computing experience is the same month to month to month, year to year, then they're going to be that much better off for having that type of service. And I think that's what it's coming down to, because by the time most of us as technicians get computers, you know, I sit there and I show people, I said, listen, you didn't just get infected this month. You've been infected for well over a year. Mm. You're just now bringing it to me at this point where Internet Explorer is broken and you can't get on the internet. Now I've got to go back and clean all these different things off. And what I've seen, even people that I've got, if I've ever gotten a computer back after doing something else on it, even doing a cleanup, you know, a few months later, it's like you get these little things that are just starting to creep in, you know, from little programs downloaded or whatever. And managed services, I think, is a big one, because you can keep that machine running at tip-top shape. And it, most of the time, it's only been for businesses, which is really good because businesses absolutely need it. But I think even residential customers, to keep their computing experience the same all the time, I think that's going to become important to people.
Yeah, for me, if someone comes to me with the same issue three times, so the third time they come to me with the same issue, that's when I pitch the managed services to them, because I'm like, you're coming back to me, you know, with the same issue multiple times. Why don't we just, instead of you paying, you know, a lot of money to get this fixed every time, why don't we get some sort of managed services where I can keep your computer healthy all the time? And that way you don't, you know, that over the long run, that's going to be cheaper than you bringing in the computer every few months with a big problem that's going to take, you know, a while to fix. So, you know, if they have the same problem, you know, twice, shame on them. But if they have the same problem three times, shame on me for not providing them, you know, some kind of consistent service like managed services.
Very cool. That sounds real good. So you said 50% of your business is your website development. So obviously that's growing. And then, you know, pretty much the rest of your business is, you've transferred from mostly break fix to, you know, business, whether it be home business or, you know, business at a facility or whatever. Yep. So how are you liking that compared to when you had first started break fix?
I don't know. It's, I like it better. You know, I like, having it, it's more high level, more strategic. I'm more of a partner with these folks as opposed to just someone coming in to put out a fire or to fix a problem. So with the break fix, it's like, I have this problem and you better fix it. So there's a little bit of pressure there.
Sure.
You know, if you try to fix it and it doesn't quite fix it, or if you, you know, you fix it and then it looks good, but then the same problem comes back a few days later, that could just, you know, that can wear you down.
And, right.
So I like more of working with small businesses and business owners where they have kind of a longer term need for, you know, how do I get my processes running on the computer where I can, you know, share files and back things up and collaborate and get everything working at a higher level. And that of course, there's still immediate needs where they something will break and then they'll call me and they're like, I need to fix this now because I have a meeting. And so it, the urgency is still there. And sometimes it's even worse because there's a lot more writing on it when you have a business
right.
than there is when you're just a residential customer. But I find if I've been working with the person for a little bit of time, I'm able to educate them. I'm able to set their systems up to run more efficiently. And then those problems, those urgent issues tend to not happen as much. And so I like that. I like that aspect of it. It's, you know, it's not quite as gratifying where you troubleshoot an issue and fix it right there when you're at their house, right there in front of them. That's always a cool feeling.
Right. Right.
And to see the look on their face, like, oh my gosh, you fixed it. You're a genius. So that's, you know, that's still, and I still do that from time to time. Like I said, I still have the customers that I do that for. And so that's fun, but you know, they both have their pluses and minuses, but you know, I'm making more money from the business folks, and I just kind of enjoy that more strategic approach.
Well, it's almost like you're growing along with their business. You're providing a service to them to make their lives easier, and so it's a win-win situation. And they're willing to pay you so that their lives are easier. And you know, you have a more of an ongoing relationship versus, you know, you might see your other customers, a break fix customer, maybe once a year, once every couple of years, or like I said, I had one that called me, you know, from 4 years ago. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're all, you know, you're going to be their computer guy. If you do a good job, you're their guy. And even if they don't have an issue for years, they're going to dig up that business card or whatever and give you a call. And yeah, it's amazing. Like who comes out of the woodwork after years of running the business. And then all of a sudden there's this client that you totally forgot about that was from the early days. And I like that because then I can't wait to show them, you know, how I've evolved in my right. business and, you know, how I'm able to fix things a little bit faster, or I'm able to have a little bit more streamlined process of just, you know, getting them in the door and getting things fixed. And so it's a cool opportunity to kind of show someone how you've evolved from the very beginning when you might have been a little more inexperienced.
Absolutely. So what, we've talked about managed services and you've talked about remote support, which I know are a couple of new things that you've brought in your business here recently. What are you using for managed services and what are you using for your remote support?
I'm not really using any software service for managed services. For me, managed services is a monthly contract that I have with a client to do specific things.
Okay.
So for one client, it's a block of hours basically that can be used for whatever, whether it's remote support, whether it's me researching something for them, whether it's me coming in and fixing a problem in person. It's just a block of hours.
Okay.
Some other residential clients I have, they're on a quarterly tune-up schedule where every 3 months I'll remote into their computer and just, you know, just do a tune-up, run, you know, some cleaners and get rid of any junkware they might have and that sort of thing. Just make sure everything's running good, update anything that needs to be updated, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then for my my web clients, I'll do some hosting for them. For WordPress is cool because it's, you know, requires updates and tweaking and stuff with the different plugins and stuff. So I have I'm on a monthly retainer for some of my WordPress clients where I'll go in once a month and just update everything and make sure they have a backup and everything's running smoothly on their WordPress site, you know, fix any security issues they might be having there. So it's managed services for me takes the form of many, many different things.
Okay.
Just wherever the opportunity is to get someone on a recurring schedule is what I consider to be managed services. And that's what I look for opportunities to do.
Very cool. Well, and obviously for your business customers, I'm sure you're doing, you know, some sort of maintenance on their machines as far as, you know, just keeping them. Obviously, the plan is to keep them up and running and, you know, out of harm's way over time, I would imagine.
Yeah. So some of them, yeah. And some of them, no. Some of them don't, didn't want that. So
okay.
They just call me when they need me, and I'll come in and do what I need to do.
Okay.
So yeah, it's really just depends. And every customer is different. That's kind of what I like about this business, is every client's needs are a little bit different. Every customer is a little bit different. And I really don't have like a cookie cutter service or managed services that I just say, here's what I provide, take it or leave it. You know, I, gotcha. I customize my service to the situation.
Very cool. Yeah. I think you have to be adaptable in this business. You're absolutely right. It's important to, you're basically there to help that person with whatever their need is. And that's our job.
I tell them, you know, for my small business clients, I tell them that I am your IT department when you can't afford to have an IT department.
And right.
Every business, you know, big businesses, every big business has a different IT department that does different things depending on what the business does. So that's kind of what my role is to take over whatever, you know, in-house IT, whatever their in-house IT needs are is what I provide, whatever that might be.
Very cool. And now, so what are you using for your remote support software?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of evaluating some different solutions, because I was using Crossloop, and as we know, that has gone out. That was discontinued.
Okay.
So I've been playing around with crud. the name escaped me. The Citrix. Citrix's solution.
Oh my gosh.
To go to,
yeah, go to my PC.
Yeah, there okay. you go. Yep. So actually, no, I think that's the consumer version.
But oh
there's
yeah,
there's a technician version.
Okay.
It's go to something.
Gotcha.
I'm blanking on it, but I tried that for a little while. I tried Instant House Call for a little while, and so I'm currently evaluating, and specifically, I'm doing this for my Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy blog and the Computer Guy or the Computer Business Podcast. I want to kind of, you know, take a step back and look at what's out there and maybe make some recommendations, use this as an opportunity to get familiar with what's out there. And then hopefully soon here, I'll make a decision of what I'm going to use. And then I'll have kind of a nice summary of what's out there. You know, I like to take the approach of not recommending just one thing for everybody. I'll tell folks what I ended up using, but then I'll say, here's the other options out there.
Right.
Some of them might be better for your situation, depending on what that is. So I'm going to eventually have either a podcast episode or a blog post where I'm going to run through, you know, a lot of what's out there, what they can provide you, who they're best suited for. And that way some, you know, folks can have a resource to go to and find the best remote connection software for them. Cause there's a lot of them out there. I'm surprised as I've been doing this, I've been finding, you know, people recommending different remote connection software that I'd never heard of.
Right.
So there's a lot of them out there, and it can be kind of overwhelming when you have so many choices to be able to filter through that and find what's best for you. So I'm going to be able to provide that for folks when I'm done with all this.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So definitely keep up with Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy and the Computer Business Podcast, where Matthew will definitely have updates on, you know, what he's discovered out there. And I'll be interested to see, because as I've started looking around, I've noticed that there's a lot. I've never heard of Crossloop, to be honest with you.
Right.
And, but you know, obviously they're no longer around. And you were using them.
The cool thing about Crossloop was it was a it had a community that it had a website where people who are having computer problems could go, and they could see what Crossloop technicians were available, and then they could instantly, you know, ping you and say, hey, are you available to help me? So you can have you know, just random strangers from anywhere in the world, if you're sitting at your desk. They can say, hey, are you available to fix my issue? And then that's a cool way to get new clients.
Oh, very cool.
You know, without having to do any work.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah. You don't like to see businesses like that go away, because, you know, I think each of them brings their own little niche that they're really, really good at. And, you know, like,
yeah,
you
and
said.
It was bought by AVG. So I, you know, they acquired it and then they discontinued it. So I don't know if they're going to re-release it as their own kind of branded thing, or if they're, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what their end game was with that.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we'll see.
So what are some of your other favorite tools, software or hardware that you use in your business on a regular basis?
Let's see. I have been using D7 2 a lot.
Okay.
Because that just makes things really easy as far as tune-ups and stuff, getting everything in one spot. So just check the boxes and run a nice tune-up. So that's been a great tool. I've been liking, now on the business side, I've been really enjoying using FreshBooks for invoicing.
Okay.
That's a cool service that you can use, FreshBooks.com cloud invoicing, where all of my clients, I put into FreshBooks, and then I've stopped, charging my clients, in person when I go see them. Instead, what I'll do is I'll do the work and then I'll send them an invoice for my business clients.
Okay.
Because a lot of times for business clients, they like to get an invoice, you know, they have something for their records and sure. That way I can spend time instead of handwriting it on an invoice when I'm physically at the location. I could take notes, go back home, type up some, you know, well-structured notes, in the invoice. And then send it to them through email. And that way, you know, they have a nice clean invoice with kind of bullet points of what I did and what I recommended and stuff like that. And then I'm able to easily keep track of my past invoices and all of that stuff through the system. So I like systems like that to just kind of keep things organized.
Okay. Very cool. I looked at FreshBooks and a couple of different things, and I'm still on the search for, you know, what I want to use for my business. Right now I'm using Repair Shopper over at repairshopper.com, and there'll be a Podnuts episode coming up with them on there, explaining what their product does. And we had a good time talking about it, and I got a better insight of how the software works, and they have a tiered program. So it's kind of interesting. There is a free version, and you can use for up to, I think it's like 25 invoices a month. So if you're a small business, you can use a lot of, not everything, but you can use a lot of the stuff to keep track of your customers, invoice them, stuff like that. And then there's some other tools that are paid for tools, you know, with where you can email your clients after the repair, just following up with them, or you can, you know, send out an email blast of your own to your current customer list, or however you know, business customers, residential customers. Basically, I'm looking for more of an all-in-one tool, and this is the one that I've found that's come the closest. I didn't want to have a lot of different things out there that I had to plug into. So,
right.
And
that's something I'm going to be looking into as well.
Okay.
Is kind of an all-in-one solution. Right now I am kind of piecing together, you know, different services, and you know, it works to a certain extent, but I still like to keep track of client information. I just use Google Contacts. You know, I create a Google Contact for them, and then I put all the notes in the notes for that. Between that, and then I just have, like, you know, folders on my computer. I have folders for each customer, and then I put all the invoices or receipts or notes or whatever into those folders. And so I know that there's probably a tool that could kind of facilitate all that stuff, keeping track of customers. And now I don't have a shop, and I don't normally keep, like, computers or inventory or anything like that. So I don't need, I know there are some solutions out there where you can keep track of inventory and kind of keep track of all the
right.
computers that you have in your quote unquote shop. Whether it is at home or an actual physical storefront. And I don't really have a need for that. What I have a need for is, like, a client management system, something like Repair Shopper kind of sounds like something along those lines, where I can keep track of all my clients. I can look up past history of what I've done
right.
with the clients, and then kind of automate the process of contacting them and following up with them and,
right.
and stuff like that.
And what's neat about it is all the tools you were just talking about, it has all those for the growing computer repair business, but you don't have to use all of them. You can use the basics of the program for what you need for your business. And there's even to the point of there's custom fields that you can, you know, propagate through the program that you use for your specific type business. So I found it very interesting. And the other interesting thing was when I first signed up for it, one of the owners contacted me and said, "Hey, would you like a demo?" You know,
nice.
And so I was able to do a demo with them. And that's when I invited them on Podnuts and said, "Hey, why don't you come on and show what your show's about or show what your product's about?" And they said, "Yeah, sounds good."
One of the perks of having a podcast is
absolutely
that people want to show you their stuff.
It's amazing to me. Sometimes the people that, for whatever reason, don't, they're like, we're not sure we want to do this right now. There's just been different people, you know, remote support software and stuff. And you're like going, really? You don't want to come on a show where you get free advertising for your products?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's kind of suspicious.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, you know what? The ones that do, they're more than happy and thank me over and over and over again for inviting them. And the ones that don't, that's fine too. But I want to bring as many different types of products and services as I can. So that people can find out about those, you know. I've heard a lot of good things about FreshBooks, and I know there's a lot of computer technicians that use FreshBooks, and they love it. It does everything that they need to do as far as invoicing people. It's very simple. And then how are you keeping track of money and stuff like that? Are you using QuickBooks?
I use GoDaddy bookkeeping.
That's right. Okay. I remember hearing that on a show. Cause you had on a computer business podcast, you had your tax consultant come on the show and talk about what she does for your taxes and how she kind of helped you along the way. So that's a very interesting show, to go check out, Matthew's show, because it's a lot of good information that I think a lot of technicians need, because I'll tell you what, I use a tax consultant, but he gets an Excel spreadsheet at the end of the year.
Right.
And I've got to manually go through and categorize everything that I've done. And that's fine when you're like really small, but when you start getting into multiple pages, it becomes a little more difficult. So,
right. Yeah. And in that episode, we talk about, some software solutions that you can use to kind of automate that process where it connects directly to your bank and downloads all your transactions. And then maybe once a month I'll go in and recategorize some things that got categorized wrong, but it slowly learns from that and starts categorizing things right. And then at the end of the year, you have a file that you can just export and send over to the tax consultant, and that makes things a lot easier. And that's what GoDaddy bookkeeping does. It used to be called Outright, and then it was bought by GoDaddy and integrated into their web services and stuff. But it's also just a standalone product that you can sign up for, a standalone service. And it's all cloud-based. And again, it just, it keeps track of my bank account automatically and pulls in the transactions and categorizes them. And it has a place where you can track your mileage that you drive, and it calculates all, what you should get from that. And then it reminds you about quarterly taxes when those are due. And it tells you about how much you should owe for those. And it's cool. I just like the fact that I can go in to the reports and see like a trend, the trend lines and the graphs and stuff. I like looking at the graphs of how my revenue has grown or not grown, or how my, expenses, versus, income are changing and stuff. And it's good to have a kind of a high level view of that stuff, so you can see if you're on the right track, if your business is growing, or if maybe your expenses are kind of creeping up and you have to maybe put that in check. And it's good to have that view.
So what are some of the business tips that work for you and your business that you could, give either starting, computer repair business owners or people that have been in the business for a while? Obviously, there's always things that work for us or don't work for us. And, we learn over time, sometimes the hard way. So what types of things would you say are important that you could pass on to somebody else?
One of the biggest things I've found and one of the biggest lessons I've learned in running my business is the power of networking and of getting out there in front of people, however that might be. Having started the Computer Business Podcast, I've had the benefit of interviewing some folks who are doing things that are helping to make their businesses successful. And some of the most common answers for that are either networking or, surprisingly, like teaching classes, whether it be, local at the, local community college or through some like a church service or some kind of club. But just getting out in front of a group of people and teaching a class, teaching them how to do something with computers or teaching them about security. You can teach through YouTube by starting a YouTube channel and recording YouTube videos about how to fix certain things, starting a podcast, any way you can get yourself out there and show yourself as an expert and just get your name out there. It's amazing the people who will find you and who will recommend you getting out on social media. So it doesn't have to be in-person networking. It could be networking in social media. For example, LinkedIn. I was always skeptical of LinkedIn because I wasn't sure how it would work for me, how I could use it.
Right.
It just seemed like a glorified resume. But I started a profile on there and, started sharing some articles I was writing. And eventually, people started finding me and I got my first gig through LinkedIn a couple weeks ago for WordPress stuff. And they found me entirely through LinkedIn. They just did a search for WordPress consultant and I came up so it's just, you never know. You can have like a preconceived notion about how something's going to work, but it might not have worked for someone, but it might work for you. And so I guess my biggest advice is to just get out there, try as many different channels as you can, try to get out in as many different ways as you can. And then just, get in front of people and network. It's amazing the clients you can get just by meeting people and not even in a business context, but just getting out and meeting people in clubs or social situations and just expanding your network of people that know what you do. And then they might not have a problem, but they might know someone who has a problem and then they'll refer them to you. And it just kind of snowballs from there. And that's been, it's just been so powerful, more powerful than I ever imagined before I started the business. Is the word of mouth. I was always concerned about finding the best advertising method. Do I need to go to the phone book? Do I need to, do road signs or get a billboard or something? But really the best clients I've gotten have been through the word of mouth, the networking, the people who have seen me teach a class or have seen or listened to the podcast or have seen, something else that I've put out there that have contacted me because they know the kind of services I provide. They know who I am. And that helps right off the bat, find people that I would work with well, as opposed to just some random stranger who sees my ad in the paper. And then who knows, if I'm going to be the right fit for them. Cause it's really about being the right fit for the person. You're not going to be the right fit for everybody. There's going to be clients that just aren't going to jive well with you. Aren't going to like the style of work that you do. And so you kind of want to, you don't want to waste, maybe waste time isn't the right word, but it takes a lot of energy to make those clients who don't work well with you happy. So it's better to find the kind of clients that you work well with. It's easier to make them happy. And the way you find those types of clients is to get out there face to face with people, meet people, they can meet you. You can see that you work well together and that's how you get that relationship going.
No, that's a great point. Because I know different people have talked about firing clients and different things like that. And some people look at that as a negative. Some people talk about it as a positive, whatever. But it comes down to relationships. In a business environment, a lot of times I think we don't think relationships are maybe important. But here's the way I look at it. I want a person to trust me. If you don't trust me, then I would rather you go somewhere else and, you know, find somebody that you do trust, because there's no reason for us to work together if there's not a trust, you know, built up that I'm going to do a good job for you and you're going to pay me and, you know, and we're going to have a good client, technician relationship. I think that's very important. And I think really what it comes down to is in the service industry, having a top-notch service where you actually do care about your customers, well-being, as far as, you know, even, you know, just making sure, hey, your computer's working properly, it's doing what it needs to do, and you're happy with that, and we can, you know, we can move on. And I think you're seeing that. I think you talked about that from your business client standpoint, is you're creating more of a relationship with them versus a lot of the break fix is basically somebody coming in and you fix it and you see them in a year or so.
You know? Right. Yeah. And I like to think of it as a partnership, right? Like, yes. I care about their business and I want to see them succeed, but I also want them to care about my business and see me succeed by not, you know, trying to negotiate the prices down or,
right,
or, you know, questioning my every move kind of thing.
Right.
And you know, so I like it to be a mutual partnership, not just I'm the service provider and you're the customer.
Right.
I like it to be kind of a mutual thing. I've found personally, and this just might be my personality, and I know this isn't the way for everybody, but I find personally, it's for me, it's just not worth the trouble and the headache to try to retain a client that is constantly pushing back, is constantly questioning things, is constantly trying to whittle the price down or get the price as cheap as possible. I know computer business owners who say, well, that's still your customer and you know, you got to give them great service and do whatever you can to keep them. But I'm like, it takes so much of my energy and I'm just so exhausted after working with those types of clients that it's just not worth it. I'd rather spend my time and energy and concentration on the clients who are my partners, who are going to appreciate the work I do, who I work well with. And that just makes my life a lot easier and helps me grow my business, because I'm happy. I'm spending my energy on things that really matter.
I'll tell you, one of the books I've read recently was called The Pumpkin Plan. And if you haven't read it, it's a great read. I actually listened to it on Audible because, again, my ability to sit down and read all the time is not that great. So, excellent, excellent book. Talked about, you know, taking the clients that you work well, you know, basically what you're saying, the ones that you work well together with, and, you know, cultivating those clients and getting rid of the rest, getting the ones that are pulling you down. And it's like, you can look at this in many different ways, but to me, it goes back to an old analogy of crabs in a bucket. And, you know, if anybody's ever been crabbing before, if you throw one crab in a bucket, even, you know, one of those 5-gallon buckets, the crab will crawl out. But if you put two or more crabs in that bucket, they can't go out, because as one's trying to get out, the other one's pulling them back down. And you don't need that type of negative energy in your business. You need to work with clients who, like I said, respect you, trust you, and you're trying to help them. They're in turn, trying to help you. And it's like you said, it's a partnership relationship. And that's really what it comes down to. And I say to those people that say, well, those are your customers too, you know what? Pass me on your name and phone number, and I'll pass those clients on to you.
Right. They can be your headache.
Exactly. So I totally 100% agree with that. So only so much time on this earth before, right, you know, you're out of here. So I'm going to enjoy the most of it. And I want good positive relationships, you know.
And so, there, you know, and my perspective is, there's probably a computer tech out there that they would work better with, that they,
true,
maybe their personalities match, or the way they work matches better, and they might not be as demanding or whatever of that person. So, you know, it's a mutual benefit if I cut them off, because they're not getting the best service out of me and I'm not getting a good experience out of them. So
that's a good point.
To let them, you know, if you love something, let it go, or whatever that saying is.
Yeah, if it comes back, you know, then, you know, yeah, whatever.
I guess that doesn't really apply here, but
yeah, you don't want poetic. It to come back, but you know, yeah. I'm just letting you go, and please don't come back. Anyways, you know, that's really good. A lot of good information here. I really think that, you know, as far as building a customer business, it is about just, you know, having the customer wants a good customer experience. You want a good customer experience with that customer. And, you know, it just kind of, it's all mutual. So I think that's a great point. Is there anything that you are doing that's unique in your business, would you say, that, you know, maybe somebody else isn't doing out there, or you started doing it in your business because you found out that it worked really well for you? I know we talked about the websites and stuff like that, but is there anything you said, oh, wow, you know, kind of a light bulb went off in your head and you said, well, this is kind of unique to maybe what other technicians in my area aren't doing for their customers?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, I guess I'd go back to the networking is a big one. Just getting out to different events and talking with people, teaching. I don't think any technicians in my area are teaching classes. At least I've not seen or heard of any. I think that's a good way to differentiate yourself. And then one thing that I keep hearing over and over again that I am starting to implement in my business is the thank you cards. I think in my podcast, you mentioned that you've been doing thank you cards,
right?
And I've had some guests on that said that they do thank you cards. And I think that's just such a cool gesture that I don't see too often from other service providers.
Right. Yeah.
As a cool way to just, you know, foster goodwill and have a little reminder of your services and the experience they had with you. And then just following up, you know, having, getting folks, emails, after you service them and then sending them email reminders every now and then. I have a little newsletter that I send out to my clients, every few months, just with, you know, some tips and tricks and for computing and to remind them that I'm still around and
right.
Maybe promote a service that I have that not a lot of people know about. So just to kind of keep in the back of the minds of all your customers that you're still around, that if they ever have a computer problem, that they remember who to come to for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's very important. And yeah, as far as, you know, like thank you cards and stuff like that, that's something I was guilty of not doing in my business. But as I looked around and I think I'd heard, you know, on your podcast, somebody had said that and they said it was working real well. And I've thought about it for a long time, and it was one of those things where, oh yeah, do I want to do that? And it's like, but you know, even my wife said the same thing. She goes, who else does that?
Right.
Who else after a service is done actually sends you a thank you card? I think my real estate agent did, but you know, I use my real estate agent once every, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever. I mean, so,
right. Yeah,
you know, now because she did that, I do recommend her to other people that are in my area. You know, so, and that's another way that, you know, somebody can go, oh yeah, this guy worked on my computer. Maybe you should call him and check him out, you know? So no, that's very good. I like that. Is there anything, any closing thoughts that you had on anything maybe we didn't cover today? In your business,
well,
or
I think just the lesson that I've learned and that's been successful for me is to stay flexible, to always be looking for new opportunities to grow your business or to find different services that you can provide. You don't have to just stick with one thing. You can, you know, offshoot and get creative and try things, and if they don't work, you know, oh, well, at least now you know for sure. You know,
right.
You don't know for sure unless you try it. You know, I tried providing a white label backup solutions, and I promoted it to my clients. I advertised it, and I didn't get a single bite on it.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was. I don't know if they just weren't interested. I wasn't pitching it right or whatever, but I just found out that wasn't something that I was either good at pitching or good at providing or whatever. So I stopped doing that. And that was just a lesson learned that that's not a service that my clients or my business is, you know, well suited to provide. So just, you know, if it doesn't work, drop it, move on. I didn't, you know, beat a dead horse by trying to continue pushing that and saying, hey guys, come on, this is great. Why aren't you doing it? I moved on to something else and see what else, you know, caught on. And it turned out to be WordPress consulting or small business cloud consulting. And that's kind of where my business is going. So, you know, just don't be afraid to experiment and to change course if that seems like a good opportunity for you. You don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
That's great advice. Yeah, that's really good. That's golden there. Yeah, and it's constantly evolving. You know, find out what your niche is or find out what you like to do. Keep with those things and constantly be on the lookout for new opportunities. And, you know, you'll know what things you like to do. Like I said earlier, I don't mind taking apart laptops. I can't stand taking apart mobile devices, you know. And that's just, I learned that lesson. So
you shouldn't have to fight, you know, you shouldn't have to fight to make it work for you. It should feel good. It should feel natural to you. It should be something you're good at without having to really like struggle with it or stress out over it. I think, you know, everyone can find the niche that fits them best. And that's a way to be successful, because then you're not so worried about that particular service and making sure it's good and trying to push it and get people to use it. Instead, you're just doing something that works well for you. And that's going to be evident to your clients. They're going to see that you like doing it, that it's something you're comfortable with.
Right.
And then they're going to be more confident in you as well.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of great tips, Matthew. I really appreciate it. And yeah, a lot of good knowledge to pass on to the people. And if someone wanted to contact you or, you know, get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
They could head on over to yfncg.com, stands for your friendly neighborhood computer guy. And, you know, check out the resources there. See if there's anything that can help you out. I have a free ebook called 20 Things You Can Do Right Now to Improve Your Computer Business with some little tidbits, some that I went over today and some that I haven't covered yet. But you can check that out for free on the site. And then check out the Computer Business Podcast. And then if you just want to reach out and contact me, I have a contact me page on the website that you can use. And I love hearing from folks. I love hearing about what's working for people. I love, you know, answering questions that people might have. And if I can't answer it, I could bring on someone onto the podcast who can answer it. So I love interacting with other computer business owners and either helping them or learning from them.
Great. Oh, it sounds really good. Yeah, you've got a lot of resources out there that can really help the computer repair business owner. And also, I'm gonna promote another product of his, which he didn't talk about, which is the Tech Site Builder. And that's at techsitebuilder.com, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's one that I acquired from our mutual friend, Steve Cherubino, who first started it. And so I took the reins on that one, and I'm actually working on kind of revamping it. And that's when I'm going to kind of start promoting it. But hey, definitely check it out. Even now, it's still a great product. And if you need a computer business website, I know you're using it.
Yes.
But if you need an easy to put together computer business website, it's based on WordPress, so it's something that I'm deeply familiar with. I've tried to definitely improve the product. There's some WordPress training videos on there now. There's some other there's a pro version where you can get some like SEO, back-end SEO stuff. It's mobile responsive, so it'll look good on a mobile phone. And I have some sample blog articles that you can use for your newsletter and stuff like that. So I think it's a really good resource now, and I'm planning on just taking it to the next level here towards the end of the year, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll give a little testimony on that. I was using the TechSite Builder 1, which was a static HTML page, which worked excellent for me with my Google AdWords account. That's where I got all my customers from. And it wasn't until this year, I actually had bought TechSite Builder 2 before you had taken it over from Steve Cherubino and hadn't done anything with it. I'd looked at WordPress. I had done a WordPress site in the past and really was not interested in learning how to do it again. But with that being said, I sat down at the beginning of the year like I do every year, and I kind of do a revamp of my business. And I looked at it. I watched the videos, walked through it, changed my website over within a few hours, and voila, you know, no big deal. And
yeah, those videos are great, man. Steve did a great job with the walking you through step by step.
Yep.
Because, you know, to install WordPress, you need a database and all of that stuff, and that can be kind of intimidating for the first time user, or someone who's not used to web development or whatever. But he walks you through it step by step, so it's real easy to do.
Absolutely, yeah. And when I had a couple questions on a couple things I couldn't get to work, you know, I just contacted Matthew and he helped walk me through a couple of those things. And then, you know, I also paid him to do some special work that I needed for, you know, a special project I had on my website. So, because he was, you know, I probably could have figured out how to do it, but I wasn't going to take that much time and effort. He's the expert, so it was just easier to pay him.
Right. That's the balancing act you're always doing, right? Should I figure out how to do it myself, or should I hire someone who knows what they're doing? And you know, as the business grows, I'm finding that I'm more likely to hire an expert than to try to figure it out myself, because, you know, that takes time. And
absolutely.
Time better spent doing things that I actually know what I'm doing with.
Exactly. And I figure that the time less spent on different things like that, I can spend on my marketing and growing my business, which is really where I should be at most of the time. So anything I can automate or anything I can have somebody else do, it's worth the money. And there's good people out in the industry that charge a fair price. And I don't mind paying, you know, fair prices for things, you know, no different than what I charge my customers. So, but no, I appreciate it. And again, thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us. It's been a chock full of information, and I know a lot of people will get a lot out of this, and they've got a lot of new resources that they can go to and definitely check out. So.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, man. I have a lot of fun just talking shop and you know, saying what's worked for me and hearing what's worked for other people. So I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. You are welcome back anytime. If you guys want to find me, you can find me on Google+ at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, please email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. If you're a technician in the computer repair business, just take the time to, you know, come out on the show and just sit down with me, and we'll share a time where we can, you know, talk about what you're doing in your business. And that's what it's all about, sharing in the community. And I'll tell you guys also, if you could do us a great favor and go over to iTunes and go ahead and rate and review, give us a short little review on iTunes, that would help, you know, just help the show grow a little bit and help other people to know about it, that, you know, people that might find it interesting to listen to. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping in Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. It puts a little change in the pocket of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Come check out some of the other podcasts on the Podnuts Network, like Android App Addicts. It's now a daily podcast. 5 days a week, each show the perfect length to get you through your daily commute or workout. If you have an Android device and aren't listening to this show, you are missing out. Or if you're interested in remote support, check out the Remote Support Show. If you want to laugh and have a good time hearing about tech, listen to the Geeksters. If you want to learn about Linux, then check out Linux for the Rest of Us. And if you're into all things server related at work or for fun, check out the Server Show. In the market for a new phone, check out Mobile Dynasty to get all the latest information on your mobile technology. If you're tired of being unhealthy, then check out Health Nuts. Come check out these shows and more over at podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.